ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Text 10.
Vibhargam nati krichrena
bhajate
grihamedhyapi yatha desham
yatha kalam
yavaddaivopaditam.
Trivargas Chalaisi Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Even if one is a householder rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development or satisfaction of the senses. Even in householder life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available, with minimum endeavor, according to place and time, by the grace of the Lord. One should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Purport. In the human form of life, there are four principles to be fulfilled: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. First, one should be religious, observing various rules and regulations. And then one must earn some money for most important ceremony, money for maintenance of his family and the satisfaction of his senses. The most important ceremony for sense gratification is marriage, because sexual intercourse is one of the principal necessities of the material body. Yan maithunadi gruhamedi sukham hitucham. Although sexual intercourse is not a very exalted requisite in life, both animals and men require some sense gratification because of material propensities. One should be satisfied with married life and not expend energy for extra sense gratification or sex life. As for economic development, the responsibility for this should be entrusted mainly to the vaishyas and grihasthas. Human society should be divided into four varnas and ashramas: brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Economic development is necessary for grihasthas. Brahmana grihasthas should be satisfied with a life of adhyana, adhyapana, yajana, and yajana. Being learned scholar, teach others to be scholars, learning how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and also teaching others how to worship Lord Vishnu or even the demigods. A brahmana should do this without remuneration, but he is allowed to accept charity from a person who he teaches how to be a human being. As for the kshatriyas, they are supposed to be the kings of the land. The land should be distributed to the vaishyas for agricultural activities, cow protection, and trade. Sudras must work. Sometimes they should engage in occupational duties of cloth manufacturers, weavers, blacksmith, goldsmith, brassmith, etc., and so on. Or else, they should engage in hard labor to produce food grains. These are the different occupational duties by which men should earn their livelihood. And in this way, human society should be simple. At the present moment, however, everyone is engaged in technological advancement, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as ugra karma, extremely severe endeavor. This ugra karma is the cause of agitation within the human mind. Men are engaging in many sinful activities and becoming degraded by opening slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories, as well as nightclubs and other establishments for sense enjoyment. In this way, they are spoiling their lives. In all of these activities, of course, householders are involved. And therefore, it is advised here, with the use of the word api, that even though one is a householder, one should not engage himself in severe hardships. One's means of livelihood should be extremely simple. As for those who are not grihasthas, the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, they don't have to do anything but strive for advancement in spiritual life. This means that 3/4 of the entire population should stop sense gratification and simply be engaged in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Only 1/4 of the population should be grihasthas, and that should be according to laws of restricted sense gratification. The grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna conscious. This type of civilization is called Daiva Varnashram. One of the objectives of the Krishna consciousness movement is to establish this Daiva Varnashram, but not to encourage so-called Varnashram without scientifically organized endeavor by human society. Krishna. So, yes, this is such a detailed purport. Each part of it can be elaborated in so many ways and try to understand so many things. But I will especially focus on one aspect. And it is the Prabhupada explains how this Ugra Karma is prohibited for devotees. So that will be the focus. Basically, Srila Prabhupada explains that 3/4 of these Varnashrama Dharma, ashramas, sense gratification is completely prohibited, like brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. Because this goal of Varnashram system is to achieve love of Godhead. Therefore, sense gratification is not at all encouraged. But in 1/4 of the ashramas, that is the grihastha ashramas, regulated sense gratification is allowed. Prabhupada explains why. Because of having a body, human body, material body, animal or human, whatever, there is a propensity for sense gratification. Just to satisfy that, some regulated sense gratification is allowed. So, but as a devotee, everybody understands, so that whatever ashram one may be, that sense gratification is bad. Normally, materialists, they think that sense gratification gives pleasure or happiness. The sense gratification is equal to pleasure. That is their equation. And for spiritualists, sense gratification is equal to misery. These are the fundamental equations of both schools. Now, if you say, a materialist, that with every endeavor for sense pleasure, a lot of misery is accompanied. Suppose you want to see a scenic place, then you have to go in a vehicle, then you have to go by maybe a vehicle is not allowed, then you have to walk and get up in a mountain so long, mentally tired. That time you see some scene, but you're feeling hungry. And you don't have a big fist, that is not possible to carry. So different kind of miseries are associated with every endeavor for pleasure. So they say whatever it may be, but the pleasure is, there is some pleasure. His Holiness Jayadal Swami once was giving class here. It's like one of my favorite. He was saying, if there is a glass of milk and you put just one drop of poison in it, then it becomes, the whole glass becomes poison. Although poison is little bit and milk is more. 99.9% is milk. Poison is little, say 1.1%. Still the whole glass becomes poison. Similarly, anything that is negative, when the negative element comes, the whole thing is negative actually. So although there is some pleasure, because misery is surrounding it, therefore the whole experience is miserable. But still, because people are illusioned, they are attached to that small happiness, they go around it. So, how this sense gratification can lead to Ugra Karma is that Prabhupada says Ugra Karma means very hard. Ugra means very hard. Karma means work, very hard work, or very difficult to achieve. Sometimes it's a pungent activity. Ugra Karma means pungent activity. Horrible work. Prabhupada describes many places describe differently. So what, when a person, he understands misery is there, but he wants to increase the pleasure. So he works hard. Works harder and harder and harder. So that the pleasure entity is more and misery entity is less. But that never happens, basically. The more pleasure you get, the more and more misery is accompanied. That is, they are not able to understand. So they try to increase the pleasure, but more and more and more, the work becomes ugra. Simple work becomes, karma becomes ugra karma. And the difficulty is there. So what is wrong then? Somebody may say, well, you work hard, you get little more sense gratification, that is nice. Senses after all needs gratification. So let us enjoy in that way. One may argue like that. But the answer is, Prabhupada says in one of the purport, what happens to the ugra karma is that it deteriorates one's finer sentiments, Prabhupada writes in one place. That ugra karma deteriorates or kills our finer sentiments, completely destroys. What are these finer sentiments? So I'll give you one small example, a story, which is narrated by His Grace Badrinarayana Prabhu, one of the Prabhupada's main disciple, who was giving class in Siddha Mayapur, and he gives very nice examples. This is one of them. I won't be able to narrate like him, but I'll try. So he was telling once in a big New York, some American city, in a suburb area where poor people are living, it's like slum area, ghettos. Some rich people, they buy a big stretch of land there. And they build a very big mansion, came up. And everybody was wondering, what is this building about? What is this building about? Everybody was wondering in that area, localites. So then they understood that it has turned out to be a big hotel with residential facilities, big dining halls, conference rooms. And many rich people would gather there all the time. Many cars would come and some meetings would be going on. They'll be eating there. And the dining room, from outside you can see the big glass walls are there. So people who could walk outside, they could see what's happening inside. So because these people were poor and innocent, sometimes they would walk up to the wall of these glass walls and stare inside. While they would be eating or talking, the people would be staring inside. Sometimes their nose would be, hitting against that glass. So this happened again and again. So all these rich people, they thought, let us do something about it. So they had a meeting, conference. And that conference, they talked for 1 hour and then they came out with the solution. So you are living in a poor area and we are rich people and there are problems . So what is the solution they brought? They put large curtains on that glass windows. That was the solution they brought. So instead of having a sympathy for the poor people, the solution is what? Just put a curtain and that's it. That means there is no finer sentiments basically. People like it. So why it happens? How this finer sentiments gets destroyed? I'll try to understand. Prabhupada says ugra karma means basically factory, slaughterhouses, nightclubs and cigarette, all this, some breweries, cigarette factories, intoxications. This refer to ugra karma. Now take for example factory. So what are these factories? They actually produce a lot more than what is required by the people. The production is always more because it's machine, everything is organized. Cut. Every production is coming very fast. So the production is more than the requirement in the market or requirement of the people. Suppose if you have, say, for a brahmachari, 2-3 pairs of dhoti kurta, that's sufficient to run 1 year. But suppose in market, someone different kind of dhoti and kurta comes, will you be forced to buy? We won't be, because our requirement is simple. I made our life simple, basically. But these factories, they produce so much that there is actually not requirements. What do? They advertise that actually you need. Advertisement is there. For example, when I heard after coming to ISKCON only that this Coca-Cola bottle, that they spent 70 paisa to produce it, and the advertisement they spent 7 or 8 rupees and they sell for 10 rupees. 1 rupee or 2 rupee profit, 7, 8 rupees on advertisement they spent. Just to advertise. And production is 60 or 70 paisa, that's all. So when the advertisement comes, it agitates, Prabhupada says. Guru Karma agitates people's mind. It agitates. That I must need these things. I must use these things. So, advertisements are basically like this. You are enjoying your senses, that's okay, but you are not enjoying sufficiently. You enjoy your senses more, you'll be happier more. That's all. You are using one type of soap, but if you do other type of soap as well, then you'll be more happy. So this kind of advertisement comes. Engage your senses more and more, and you'll be happier and happier and happier. That is the propaganda. And the more you consume, the more happier you are, because the less you... Consumption means what? Engagement of senses, basically. So more you consume, more happier you are. So in this way, they make people buy more. And to buy more, you need money. Therefore, you have to work more. That means misery is more. So like that, this is a vicious cycle. For example, say the capitalists. I'm not speaking against any particular person, but the basic principles, what Prabhupada is teaching, that capitalists, they have good money, a lot of money. And what do they invest in the market? They call all the workers from the villages, say, I'll give you more salary, come and work in the factory. So they come. As a result, more production is there, then advertisement is there, then people buy. So all the money comes out from everybody's pocket. So initially, capitalists seems to be, you know, putting money, spending a lot of money. But ultimately, everybody's money flow towards the capitalists, ultimately. And he becomes richer and richer and richer. And then they try to control the whole economy. They try to control people. So much so, in our Braj Kumar Prabhu, who is now in Negadi in Brahmachari Ashram, he told many stories when he was here. One story he was telling that how these rich people like Rockefeller and all these people, they're actually trying to control the whole world, not through government agencies, but through their whole economy plan. Even so much so that they are building all these big highways, that are organizing everything. Everything is organized. Because if everything is organized, then it is easier to control. That is the whole idea. So devotee also organize, but for the pleasure of the Lord. Here they organize. There is a difference, a lot of difference. But they organize everything, very massive scale. We cannot even understand that massive scale. They're building highways from tip of South America to tip of North America. Highways, so that everybody will go in that, pay tolls and so many things. So he was telling many stories, some small stories. So basically, ultimately, everybody's money flow towards these people and they control through organizing massive economies. But what is the problem then from spiritualist side? One may say, well, you work more, you buy more, you consume more, and you be happy. That is the propaganda. And it seems to be logical, it seems to be okay. But no, the problem is another side of the coin is there. You know, every moon has its dark side, they say in English. A moon has its darker side. It's bright and appears very beautiful and attractive, but it has a dark side also. So what is the dark side of this economy is that it actually increases lust. Lust means it tells you to enjoy more and more. That is lusty, kama. Desire increases. So what is the problem with that? The desire is fulfilled, then one becomes proud. If it is not fulfilled, he becomes angry. So lust, anger, pride, three things automatically generated. So pride means what? I have more and somebody else has less. Therefore, I am proud. If somebody has equal quantity, then nobody is proud. I am proud. Why? Because somebody is having less than me. Then that leads to greed. Why? Because I may be having something, but somebody else is having more than me. Therefore, I have to have more. That means there is competition and envy. So all these things combined together gives rise to envy. Envy means war, fight. And war means what? You need defense force. So all these, you see, capitalist countries or the industrialistic countries, is to protect their sense gratification. They have huge defense budgets. I don't know the statistics, but it may be reaching 50%, 60% of the total taxpayers' money on defense. So how this, some dogs may be fighting for a piece of bone, but they need the bone, that is their subsistence. But here, countries are fighting for things they don't need, like unnecessary necessities. Saddam Prabhu was telling the other day in the class very nicely, we have created so many unnecessary necessities through these factories and industrial revolutions. And we're fighting for something that we don't need. And such horrible fightings. And this Ugra Karma, actually, there is no end to it. These are all a vicious cycle. Like, for example, our Bankim Rai Prabhu, he was in Japan doing his PhD some time back. And he was telling me that when they dropped these bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the person who dropped, he came, he committed suicide. He could not take it. He had some finer sentiments still remaining in his heart. But later what they did, the Americans, they sent a lot of scientists, medical officers to study what happened there after the bomb was dropped. The nuclear radioactive, you know, rays are everywhere and how people are affected by that. To study they went. So since they have to study, they didn't go to treat the people basically. They would invite them, they would talk to them nicely, they would take their entire history, interview, everything they would take, they would send them back. They said, well, you have called us, now give some solution. No, there is no solution actually, you go. They will not treat them. And again call them back. Again study. What is happening? Studying this as if, you know, studying some rats or pigs. So, the whole idea of sense gratification basically leads to more and more ugra type of karmas. So, I'm sorry, in the Bhagavatam class I have to speak these things. Many devotees, they expect some Krishna katha. But basically, Prabhupada is trying to say this ugra karma basically spoils our finer sentiments, destroys. So then, what is the solution? And Prabhupada especially says because grihastha ashramas, this they are allowed sense gratifications. There is a good amount of chance that one may fall prey to these ugra karmas. One may slip into these kind of activities. Because that is the ashram where it is allowed. Other ashram is not allowed. So there is less chance of slipping. But in grihastha ashram, one has to be very careful. And what is the solution? Narada Muni gives so many nice verses explaining so far till this 10th verse. Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking, right? Who is asking Narada Muni? Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking. And he is explaining that grihastha is allowed to work, karma is allotted to them. But then everybody asks, how do I give my results of work to Krishna? Everybody is asking. And to answer that question, Narada Muni is explaining very nicely, saying one has to hear to the pure devotees again and again. Again and again one has to hear. And from such a person, one can learn how to contribute or dovetail his activities in Krishna's service and finally make Krishna's goal of his life. So one of the primary activities of grihastha is to basically hear this message of Srimad Bhagavatam from the lotus mouth of pure devotees again and again, day and night especially. And in the meantime, carry on one's activities, but it should not be ugra activity. One should avoid. Then what happens in reducing sense gratification, one develops finer sentiments. Care, love, affection. And you also save some time to talk to each other. In Ugrakam there is no time. You know, we can say in Bombay we have seen how people go to this work. You know, those who are in VTS, they don't stay. They are not here now to hear Bhagavatam class. They already gone to the jobs. Most of the VTS. So what to speak of others? Very difficult. Of course, they get to hear in the evening, every evening, because staying in temple. So, first of all, by reducing sense gratifications, one develops finer sentiments where other faculties of our heart is opening up. And then one actually feels happiness. In sacrifice, there is happiness, not in enjoying. There's the reverse rules are there. And when one associates with sadhu in such a frame of mind, then his spiritual instinct, that grows gradually. Then one becomes Brahma Jikyasa. And another thing happens is what? In sadhu's association, because the senses, as we have a material body, requires engagement, requires gratification, engagement basically. So in association of pure devotees who have come down to these places, like city-like places, where all the Ugra Karmas are performed, they very expertly engage our senses constantly in Krishna service. That is another. So materialists, they work hard, they try to engage their senses to derive pleasure out of it. Similarly, devotees also constantly engage their senses day in, day out, and derive spiritual pleasure out of it. At least it gets engaged in the beginning, in sadhana stage. Although spiritual happiness is something our senses cannot detect or cannot experience unless it is purified. Unless it is pure, it cannot, register that happiness. It is there. So, we have little time. I'll just discuss a little bit about one pastime from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where this constant engagement of senses by a pure devotee, we can learn or we can hear something, because the devotee wants to hear. So, with permission, I'll try to speak, narrate. That how when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, complete freedom from any sense gratification. He had no sense gratification, of course, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But just to set example, he took sannyas and he was running towards Vrindavan immediately afterwards, because that was his whole, that is why he appeared, one of the main reason. Other reason is to save the fallen souls like ourselves. But he forgot that for the timing and going to Vrindavan straight. So Nityananda Prabhu tricked, actually. So there are all inconceivable things, how the Supreme Lord, somebody can stop him from doing something. So Nityananda Prabhu can do it because he is God himself, first of all. And he's also, he has that power of love with which we could, manipulate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movements. He took him to Shantipur, where he met his devotees, and he was very, and there a lot of sentiments were exchanged there. And there Satchimata requested him to go to Jagannath Puri instead of going to Vrindavan, because then she would be able to hear about him, unlike her elder son who left and there was no news about him at all. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to go to Puri, and with Nityananda Prabhu and three more other devotees, he was traveling. And they reached this village called Remuna, northern Orissa, where there is a beautiful deity of Radha Gopinath, Gopinathji, known as Kshirachor Gopinath. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that he became world famous because of his devotees, Madhavendra Puri. So Prabhupada says, I want to speak about Madhavendra Puri. Prabhupada says, this deity became famous because of his devotee Madhavendra Puri. It's like that. Not that Madhavendra Puri became famous because of the deity. It is the other way. Deity became famous. World famous. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reaches there. He dances in ecstasy. And the pujaris, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pays his obeisance to the lotus feet of Gopinath, his garland drops on his head. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very happy. And he dances in ecstasy for hours and hours. Then he decides to reside in that night in that place. And in his mind he was thinking, that because why I am staying? Because tomorrow morning I want to taste that sweet nectarian sweet rice called Amrita Kali. Because he wanted to taste that sweet rice, he stayed there one night. And in the meantime, he spoke or narrated the story which he heard from his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, and about Madhavendra Puri. Who is the spiritual master of Ishwarapuri? And he was telling how this Madhavendra Puri and Gopinath, Kirchar Gopinath pastime took place. And if you read this chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think it is the fourth chapter of Madhya Lila, everybody should read, because this Chandan Yatra is coming. This devotee, Madhavendra Puri, he was pure devotee, definitely. There is no question about it. So he is a purest devotee of the Lord, and he travels to Vrindavan. And when he reaches Vrindavan, it is explained that he would not understand whether it is day or night. That would be his situation. He was so much absorbed in Krishna. Right now, whether there is day or night, he has no idea. So much absorption in Krishna. So we can understand what is his level. And in this way, he was, because he didn't know whether day or night, sometimes he would fall down, somebody would walk, and that is how he was moving. His movements were like that. And in that way, he completely circumambulated Govardhan Hill, Parikrama, Govardhan Parikrama. And it was around evening time when he finished the whole Parikrama, and he took a bath in Govinda Kund. And then he was sitting near a tree, like we have been to that place, maybe the same tree. He would sit underneath that tree. It is said for his evening rest. But he would not rest actually, because there is no question of sleeping for these kind of devotees. Constantly absorbed in Krishna. Sitting very calmly, peacefully at that place, he would not beg for any food. Anything comes on its own, he would accept it. Otherwise, he would just think about Krishna. And happy in that state. Very peacefully, he was sitting there when a small young cowherd boy approaches him with a pot of milk. Then he asks him, "Oh, why are you fasting? Who are you? What kind of meditation are you doing? And why are you fasting?" While saying this, the boy gave him that pot of milk. Gave him. And Madhavendra Puri, when he saw that child, he was so much attracted while accepting the pot. So instead of answering his question, he is asking, "Who are you?" Because he was so much amazed by his beauty, he was not considering to answer. Whatever he was saying was so sweet and so nice. He said, "Who are you? Where are you from? Which village are you from?" All this question he was asking. And this boy also answering very sweetly, that "I am from the local village. Nobody fasts in this village. If they beg, devotees feed them very nicely. If they don't beg, then I personally bring food to them. These ladies who came to draw water from here, they saw that you are fasting. So they gave this milk to me so that I can deliver it to you." So you can say also, the ladies would not approach the renunciant directly. From that pastime we can see, they sent through somebody. The caring. So Madhavendra Puri was very much amazed. The boy immediately left. He said, "I have to milk the cows. I must go." And he left. And he was like kind of in a trance, wondering, who is this boy? He drank the milk and washed that pot. Normally, you know, if somebody is very senior, we don't care to sometimes wash our pots. We give to somebody else. But he was such an exalted devotee. He himself would wash that pot very nicely, because it's very pure. Everything is pure. So he kept it. And waiting for the child to come. He never left. He never came. And in the middle of the night, towards the end of the night, he fell asleep. A little bit, he dozed off. And as soon as he dozed off, the same boy again appeared in his dream. And took him, holding his hand, "Please come, please come. I will show you where I reside." Then he took him to the place where a lot of bushes are there, dirt is there. He said, "In that bush I am residing. One pujari was worshipping me, but the Muslims, they attacked. So out of fear, he hid me here and then he left. Ever since then I am here and I have been waiting. When will you come? When Madhavendra Puri will come so that I can be worshipped?" In this way he was urging Madhavendra Puri to rescue him out of that place. And he told, "You have to build a temple on the top of the hill and you should bathe me nicely, cool my body. I am suffering from so much heat because of summer. And I am so thirsty to hunger, so please feed me something." Like that he was requesting so many things. And as soon as Madhavendra Puri got up, immediately took his bath early in the morning and gathered villagers. All of them went to that place. And Madhavendra Puri showed them how to excavate the deity. They brought the deity, established in the hill, on the top of the hill. And when the villagers saw Madhavendra Puri's purity and his affection for this Gopal's deity, they are very much encouraged to serve him. So this is what happens. When people come in contact with pure devotees, they are immediately inspired by his purity, by his love for the Lord. that affects people so much that they are ready to do anything. And such pure devotees are very, very example. I mean, very, very much required in this, in all times, basically. All time they are required. Their presence is very much necessary. So everybody is inspired to work so hard, and lots of water pots were bought. 900 water pots were bought from Govinda Kund. And a lot of ghee, yogurt, so much oil to massage the body of Gopal deity, so much offering, sweetmeats, paneer, ghee, and all these things were bought. And some score of brahmanas, they started cooking a big feast. So much feast was made, the entire surface of Govardhan Mountain was covered with prasadam, bhoga, for Gopal's pleasure. And every item was floating with ghee, like 2-3 inches on the top. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Kaviraj Goswami says, I cannot describe all of them, I am feeling unable to do it, please excuse me, like that he is saying. And other villagers they saw, then they are inspired, they said, we also want to offer annakut. So in this way, for months, this annakut ceremony went on. Every villager would come, they are inspired by Madhavantri, they would be offering. And then two brahmanas from Bengal arrived, very, very renounced and simple. So Madhavantri trained and initiated them, and they were engaged in the service of the Gopal deity. Like kind of settled everything. And Prabhupada, Kaviraj Goswami says, from Mathura, rich people would bring very nice gifts. And Prabhupada translates in the translation, the capitalists from Mathura, they would bring, you know, gold and other ornaments as gift to Gopal. So capitalists are mentioned, who are also devotees. So it's not becoming capitalist is good or bad, but how you engage your extra money in Krishna service, that is what is the important issue. So a pure devotee is able to engage everyone, everyone's senses in Krishna service. Very, very expertly and very, very constant engagement. So in this way the worship was going on, but then Gopal said, actually I'm still feeling hot. In one dream, again he came to Madhavantripuri's dream and said, actually although you have taken so nice care, but still I'm feeling hot. Please go to Jagannath Puri and bring me this Malaya Chandan. Or Chandan from Malaya Hills. Actually, everybody is wondering where the Malaya Hills are in Orissa or not. That is not mentioned anywhere. Even I don't know where it is, Malaya Hills. Maybe, but it doesn't appear to be in Jagannath Puri. But for Jagannath, they use this Chandan because that is the best Chandan. The Puri, Jagannath Puri Pandas, they use this Chandan for Jagannath because that is the best quality Chandan. So Gopal is sending him to Jagannath Puri because Chandan is available there, just get it from there for me. And apply this Chandan and camphor on me, then my body will be cool. Then he says, so you should go personally because only you can do it. So already Madhavanpuri is so famous by that time, he could send so many people. Everybody is ready to do whatever he wants to do. But here Gopal, because he was feeling love of Madhavanpuri, he wanted himself to do it. And Madhavanpuri also immediately agrees. And he actually goes, travels to Jagannath Puri alone. And again, on the way to Jagannath Puri, he reaches this temple at Ramuna, where Gopinath ji is there. Again, he dances in ecstasy and offers prayers and worships. Kirtan is going on. And he was very happy. And by seeing the type of worship that was done in Ramuna, he was convinced that whatever they're doing, they're all first class. So this was like a certificate from a pure devotee. The pujaris, those who are there, engaged. They got a nice certificate from Madhavantripuri. And he was very happy and satisfied. Then he thought, because they are doing it nicely, whatever bhoga they must be offering also nice. So he started asking the pujaris, what kind of offering are you making? You know, he was asking. And they said, well, there is one type of preparation which is world famous, they say. It's called Amrita Kali. Or it is sweet like nectar. Taste is like nectar. And it is also popularly known as Gopinath Kshira, that is the word is used. Prabhupada translated as sweet rice, kind of sweet rice. And while he was saying this, it was evening time, and all the bhoga offering came, all these pots of sweet rice, they came to the altar. So Madhavanpuri was thinking that these pots are now going to be offered to Gopinath, and he was thinking in his mind, without my asking, if somebody gives me some of this prasad, then I will test and understand. Then later I will prepare the same thing for pleasure of Gopal. So he was saying, without my asking, something offer that item. So, but that was a wrong time because the bhoga was not yet offered to Gopinath. So he thought that this is even not offered to Gopinath, still I am thinking to test it. So he thought he has offended Gopinath. Although he was doing it for Gopal, but he thought, I have done a mistake, I have offended. And he felt so bad, he constantly or very desperately started chanting, thinking of Vishnu in his mind. Chanted starting Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. So compared to Madhavendrapuri, his offense is actually no offense. But our mind is always offending devotees constantly in so many different ways. So many desires come our mind. So here Madhavendrapuri is teaching that when such thoughts appear in our mind, what should we do? Simply immediately think of Vishnu, chant Vishnu constantly. Chant holy name basically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Like that, if you chant. Like the old Swami also was telling, he would see these billboards, all these materialistic propagandas are there, then that would disturb him, and he would chant in his mind very loudly, Nityananda. In his mind, he said, I would chant very loudly, Nityananda. So all these things will go away, inauspiciousness will go away. So while thinking like that, he was feeling repenting, and then offering was over, Aarti performed, and after Aarti, Madhavendrapuri offered his obeisances and quietly left that place. Nobody knows what is happening. And he went to the marketplace and kept chanting holy name, continued to chant holy name all night. In the meantime, the pujari goes to put the deities to rest, and himself goes to take rest. And as soon as he fell asleep, Gopinath comes in his dream and wakes him up, says, I have done a trick. Actually, I have stolen a pot of sweetness. You did not see, but I have stolen it. It is behind the screen. You come and take it out and give it to Madhavendrapuri, who is from such and such place. He is my devotee. So pujari was like amazed. What kind of dream it is? It is like a direct order. So he got up immediately to take a bath. Although it was night time, because he has to enter the altar, he had to take a bath. So he enters the altar and as surely he finds that pot of sweet rice behind the screen. He pays his obeisances, clean that place, and immediately runs to the marketplace. And Prabhupada translates that he is shouting at the top of his voice, he whose name is Madhavendrapuri, please come and collect the sweet rice which is stolen by Gopinath for you. Like that he was shouting, agrandizing, kind of hysterical he was shouting. And Madhavendrapuri immediately understood. Then he was saying, Madhavendrapuri from Vrindavan, something like that? No. So he comes out and he accepts. Then he also goes into ecstasy that Lord has done such a kindness to me, such mercy to me, shown such mercy to me. He ate that pot of sweet rice, then broke that pot, washed it and broke that pot and tied it in his cloth. And every day he would eat one part of that pot, feeling the love of Gopinath for him. And in this way, Gopinath became famous, world famous, because of Madhavendrapuri's love. And then he goes to Jagannath Puri and collects sandalwood. Again comes back to the same place. Again Gopalji appears in the dream and says, actually I am non-different from Gopinath. Prabhupada explains that because there are so many Muslim rulers, it was very difficult to carry Chandan and pass through all these provinces. Therefore Gopals became very merciful to him. So you need not go anywhere else, just stay there, use all the Chandan and apply it on Gopinath's body. Because Gopinath's body and my body are non-different, so I'll also feel cool here. So Madhavendrapuri immediately arranges everything, organizes the whole chandan, you know, and it is applied on Gopinath's body. So like here we have Gopinath and Gopal, but we are applying on Gopal's body. They're non-different. So in this we see this pastime how pure devotees are constantly engaged in Krishna's service. And in their engagement, when whoever comes in also gets an opportunity to get engaged. So once you take that opportunity and in this way overcome all the ugra karmas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So it's beyond time. Sorry for being a little late. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.